you've been listening to Little Smokes on Enlightened Radio, and welcome to the Winners and Losers Radio program. My name is John Case, and my good friend and co-host, Karen Ballantyne, is logged into the studio here. Let me see if I can...
Finally, she's showing up late this morning.
That's okay. I was playing Little Smokes. I love that band. It's a kind of, I don't know, it's a bluegrass, modern bluegrass band.
What are they called?
Little Smokes.
Oh, okay. And, like the Little Sausages?
Yeah, Little Sausages, Little Smokes. And then they have, I think there's a lot of smoke-type bluegrass or jam bands now. Blackberry Smoke.
Yeah, that might mean something. That might mean something else.
It might mean something else. I understand. Yes, but I don't know what it means anyway.
It might have nothing to do with sausages.
No, more of smoking. Yeah, right. Okay. So,
yeah.
Or other things. You know, I mean, this language is so leaky. You know, it's not. Everything is context. What will the aliens think about Little Smokes when they, you know, read our records some distant time? What are they talking about there? You know, what is that? They'll have to have their scholars.
What will they think when they find all of our guns?
Right. You know, why didn't they use them? They were caught by surprise. You know, they didn't think it would come out of the rivers. You know, oh, what? Anyway, it's just, I guess I should go get back on the beach here.
Oh. Get back on the beach, John.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm going down
where you belong.
Me and Ben are going to the wellness center this morning. I'm going to go to the gym this morning, so we haven't been in a while. So we're trying to get, you know.
Well, that's wonderful.
Get right with God or whoever, you know, runs the gym. The pool has been reimagined.
Suzanne Shipley.
The Suzanne Shipley building, yeah.
The pool is wonderful.
You know, Suzanne, she loved our show. She loved our show.
Yesterday.
She liked our show. Mm-hmm. You know, I would sit out there in the morning there.
She'd
come by, I don't know, once a week, you know, and catch me there in the morning drinking my coffee before I went in. And she kept telling me, you know, she liked it, you know, but the next one didn't so much, so. Anyway, but whatever. And so
is it a group of you going to the wellness center?
Just me and Ben, my son Ben.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, we're, Carol's working today, so, you know, these people that still have to work, I mean, God help them. God help the people that still have to work. So how's the dog sitting going? Are you scheduled to come here? Is that the plan right now? Can you hear me?
I am. I'm coming to your beach house there.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, that's good because.
Yes, I am. I am coming. I'm coming to visit you in person on a Sunday, I believe.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I've already visited four dogs this morning. Now I am sitting here with you via Zoom with my own two dogs for an hour before I get off to some more dogs.
So, okay. So you're just going around to homes and placing the food in the dog's mouth. Can't you remember to place the food in Chikaki's mouth, please? You remember that movie, Overboard, with Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell? Did you ever see that film? That's really funny.
Overboard?
Oh, yeah. It's an ancient film, at this point. But anyway, her mother.
Yeah, right, back when I had time to watch.
Way back.
Those are the only ones I've seen.
Right. You know, you could watch them with your kids. I mean, they were fairly, you know, decent, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a funny show, though. She kept talking about her mother, and her mother was very rich and was instructing her maid on how to feed her dog. And, you know, it was ridiculous, but humorous. Anyway, everybody likes the princess stories.
I do get some interesting requests. I will tell you that. People know their animals well, and they don't hesitate to instruct me on special requests.
Do you take notes or just? Do you find
I absolutely oblige, and I try to keep their animals happy while they're away. So I find myself doing things that I scratch my head about, but I do them anyway.
So, I mean, but this must mean that you have, you know, a generally, you know, good relationship with pets. Dogs and cats.
Oh, I do.
Dogs,
I do.
You know, cats are hard to have a relationship with, but unless they're with you all the time. But I was listening to an interview with Sting last night. He was talking about he didn't like cats.
One of my dogs sits right now. I have a Russian turtle for the first time. I didn't know there were turtles that had ethnicities.
It swam over the Bering Straits from Siberia. Crawled its way across the tundra. A Russian turtle. Did they order it from Russia?
I don't know what makes it Russian. I haven't heard it speak yet, so I don't know if it's the language or the diet.
Well,
they didn't tell me to get
caviar.
Vodka, so
only
sure.
Caviar for the yes. truffles, please. You know, really. Anyway. Yeah.
Yes, I'm not quite sure. I've had some. I guess this is my second turtle. There have been some guinea pigs. A lot of guinea pigs come along with dogs and cats and houses.
Guinea pigs.
Some horses and chickens and stuff like that, but mostly dogs and cats.
Right. Do you consider yourself a dog whisperer?
Don't really, no. But I certainly, dogs like me. You know, animals tend to like me. I do pretty well with them.
Right.
I have a couple of finicky cats that I think could do without me.
Right, I heard that. Yes, right. You know, we have a friend in meeting, Elizabeth Hostler, who's runs a bed and biscuit, something.
Boarding.
She used to do. They used to do houses, but they don't. They haven't done them for quite a while, but. Anyway, mm-hmm. I watched her some one time with dogs, and she had the dog whisperer dying down. You know, like other people would bring an uncontrollable dog to see her, and she would just go out in the backyard with the dog and just stand there in the middle, you know. And after the dog ran around a little bit, you know, it would come to her, and she would never say a word. She would use hand motions mostly, you know. And pretty soon that dog would just calm right mm-hmm. down. So I know some people have, you know, a more innate ability to communicate with animals. Some people were not thrown out of the Garden of Eden like Adam and Eve, you know, where they used to be able to talk to the animals, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So some people still can. And I don't know
I do believe there's definitely an energy thing that happens. You know, depending on how reactive you are and kind of what you're putting off, dogs definitely pick up on that. So I try to just play dumb, pretend I'm just not gonna do anything to change
right.
their ways, and they're usually pretty good with me.
Right. Okay. Well, sometimes they're ill, right? I mean, I think if they're in pain or ill, then you got, you know, a little harder. But
yeah, I have had that. I've watched some animals that I'm on pins and needles because don't want them to take their last breath on my watch.
Right. Everything went well except your dog died, right, that kind of thing. Yeah, right. So, yeah, right.
Right.
Well,
yeah, and here's your invoice.
Moving on to another dog that's lying in the middle of the road. I was reading this morning that Janet Yellen is now visiting China. And, you know, they had the visit last 2 weeks ago with Blinken, but that appeared to be a miserable failure of some kind, because the day after he got back, you know, Biden starts publicly insulting the president of China, you know, and everybody's a slip of the tongue. Is that, probably not. He's probably pissed off that
something didn't work,
you know?
Yeah, that was so strange, because they were touting it as a success while it was happening.
Yeah, but I don't think it was, because now they said Janet Yellen, I suppose, is definitely a smarter person than Blinken, you know, I mean, so, and, you know, I've always liked her as an economist. Carol likes her, you know. Anyway, she goes over there. But she, too, gets off the plane and starts a lecture. The news, maybe it's just the news media that can't help, you know, let's start a fight, you know, rather than right. Look at the other way. And, you know, say, well, she gets off the plane. The first thing they say that she says is she starts lecturing the Chinese on they don't have, you know, enough bank reforms, probably meaning they don't have enough capitalism. They have too much socialism. You know, that's probably the complaint. Mm-hmm. You know, at U.S. banks or foreign banks would like to be able to compete on a level playing field with state banks, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And, but whatever, you know, and you get out there and you start lecturing people. You know, from what standpoint, really? I mean, if you're going to get off the plane and morally lecture people, you know, about, well, here's what's wrong with your society. I don't get it. Okay, I just don't. To me, it seems like, what's the point?
It seems ineffective, because yeah, you immediately put people on the defensive because you're telling them what they're doing wrong.
And plus, you know, there's been, you know, tariffs raised by the United States, and all these provocations related to Taiwan with Pelosi going over there, and you know, and that caused a military mobilization and encircles the island now. Okay. Yeah, and you know, and we have what 400 foreign military bases, and the Chinese have 2. I mean, mm-hmm. What's the rest of the world supposed to think about that?
Yeah,
I just don't see how the impression of getting off an election. We got to do something different with foreign policy. That's all. I mean, I like most of the things.
Agreed.
But you know, it just end up. And it doesn't matter. You do things like this, you know, like you do Vietnam or the Afghan thing. We're going after Osama bin Laden, so we're going to go occupy Afghanistan. And you know, but did somebody ever ask the question, and then what? You know, yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to govern Afghanistan?
Effects. Yeah.
I mean, you say you're interested
it's kind of like a night on the town that ends up with the romp. There could be after effects from that.
Yeah, right. I mean, you took over Iraq, and you know, as far as I can tell, the Iran could probably, if there was an election, the Iranian government would probably be elected over the current one in Iraq. You know, just because of the way it all worked out. But anyway, so I don't understand. Anyway, that caught me as a waste of time, her visit to China, probably. Maybe they'll make a deal. Who knows? Be nice if they could do something to stop this and stop escalating the war in Ukraine either. They got to have a ceasefire. Yeah, I'm sorry. What are you going to have, World War III?
Isn't it unbelievable how many days into this we are? I mean, when it first happened, I thought, oh, gosh. Everybody's going to rally and this is going to be over in a week or two. And it's unbelievable to me.
No.
What is still happening on a daily basis?
Well, you had a third of the country that was actually Russian. The eastern, whatever, eastern third. And, you know, they were having a civil war since 2014. I mean, they were shooting each other. And then the Russians, you know, did their thing. But to them, it's about NATO. I don't think they give a shit about Ukraine.
Right.
So, and it is about NATO because almost all the funding now is coming from NATO to perpetuate the Ukrainian military government effort. I don't know how they're going to get out of it.
Somebody just needs to take all that cocaine from the West Wing and have a good old Studio 54.
Yeah, now what happened? What happened there? You know, I hope this is not going to turn into another Hunter Biden mishap. You know, of some sort. I didn't mean to leave. You know, well, it was late at night. I'm sure the Republicans will go to town with this one. Oh, let's have a congressional committee. Find out who was investigate special counsel. Where's the master?
But leave your cocaine at home.
Right. You take the documents out, but leave the cocaine. Wait, what? You know, it's supposed to be messed up. It got screwed up. I don't know. I wish them all luck investigating that.
Somewhere along the way. I keep going back to the question, and I have to listen to our recording of our podcast when Bhante Sujatha was on, and you asked him about politicians.
Yes, that was great. There's not much hope for them. That was great. That was his best remark. You're right.
Yeah, time all of this insanity ensues, I go back to what Bhante said.
Right. Yeah. There's not much of a path left for them. Oh, man. Yeah, that's true. How can you? It's true. You know, if you're in politics, eventually you're going to end up making a bad compromise of some kind, right? And you're probably not going to know it till afterwards, you know. And then, you know, but, oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, so, yeah, so the cocaine in the
right.
White House. And then there's the question of the Supreme Court.
There's the question, all right.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about, well, what could you...
I want to know what... Whatever happened with the big news about all of the, you know, the Clarence Thomas, you know, kind of unethical stuff. Like, that story seemed to fizzle out a little bit.
Yeah, well, so what are you going to do about it? I mean, your remedy for both Trump or... your remedy in the Constitution for both Trump and the Supreme Court and all federal judges, actually... is impeachment and then trial and conviction in the Senate. It's the same for both. But obviously not the House is never going to, they're not going to do it. Okay. So
right.
That path is blocked, really. I mean, until some super majority, it might take 2/3 to be true. It takes 2/3 to convict in the Senate, I believe, actually. Okay. Well, your other choice is that Lincoln, in 1861, he arrested. He didn't arrest him. He detained a whole bunch of Maryland militia. I don't think they were called National Guard back then. Whatever the Maryland militia part of the army was, he detained a bunch of them because they were plotting with the Confederacy to overthrow the D.C. government, right? And so he detained them, but they had a friend who was Southerner, who was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, named Taney, who ordered Lincoln to not suspend habeas corpus, in other words, which would have meant that he would have needed a warrant, you know, to detain the guys and, you know, arrest them. They'd have to appear before a court, but this, you know, trial by jury, whatever. And so Lincoln just refuses. Well, we'll wait and see who wins the war, and then I'll do that. So, so you can defy an order of the Supreme Court if it, and it turns out the language of the Constitution. In the event after the war, they took up the case, and Lincoln was exonerated because both he and Congress said that, you know, the Constitution does say you can suspend habeas corpus, you know, the protection, basically, if there is a rebellion or an invasion. And, you know, the Confederacy was clearly, you know, a rebellion. Anyway, so you could defy, so Biden could defy. If he could come up with an argument that this is an attempt to overthrow the United States, a rebellion, an organized rebellion, right, or an invasion. I don't know how he's going to do that one. He's going to blame that one on Putin. I don't know. Anyway, but he could refuse. But then, you know, then you get into the thing, well, how long do you refuse and how long do you ignore the Supreme Court? And you're headed into no man's land there. Where in the end the military will decide it. So I don't know how you, I don't know where you go from here on that. It's hard to take though, right? I mean,
yeah, the Supreme Court has really shown their true colors in the past couple of weeks. You're right about that.
I mean,
I don't know how we're going to fix it.
I don't know. Yes, I. It's starting to get harder to see a so-called democratic path to a conclusion. I mean, I hope there is one, but I mean, the problem is our country has been through this kind of thing before. Not exactly the same thing, but we get into this jam up, and you know, the divisions become so great that. You know, shit starts to fall apart. That's the,
yes, it does.
You know, and then you see like these all the different stuff going on, and like all the Los Angeles hotels went out for 3 days, and then they're going to go out again. You know, the West Coast Longshore. You have the this whole thing with the UPS that looks like is. It looks like some of these companies are actually getting scared of the frustration on these frontline jobs, you know, everywhere. I mean, it really is. I talked to yeah. my son at APUS. They, same thing, you know, you cut all through the pandemic. They're trying to make it right. You know, they cut back. You know, everybody's working long shifts, okay, weird shifts, you know, to maintain coverage for whatever it is. They got 30,000 students enrolled in the online stuff. Well, you know, you get all this pressure builds up, and then, you know, the pandemic starts to be over, but, you know, there's still, you know, the companies, they don't want to hire enough staff. They don't want to, you know, unless it's insured somehow, you know. And so you get a lot of just, you know, people that were loyal employees, but, you know, start to think, well, you know, every time we have a problem, the solution is the same. Well, we can't replace that person. You just do their job too. Right. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And I hear that so many places. So I'm hoping that little upsurge will get bigger. And shake it up, make, you know, when people get really upset and an upsurge takes place, everybody starts to listen. I mean, but I don't care whether it's the president or the king of England, you know, they used to have this great guy, Joe Figueredo in California, International Longshoremen's Union. He was a veteran of the 1936 general strike in San Francisco. He used to get up these meetings, and everybody would go on, and he'd get the microphone. He was about 79 and then or something. And they would say, you know, when the working class shrugs its shoulders, the temples of Wall Street will tremble. You know? And then his teeth would come
out. There's truth to that.
Yeah, so anyway, there's hope for that. But so I don't know. That's a little black hole there. I saw a cartoon the other day of a whole bunch of vultures sitting on a bloated corpse of a rhinoceros having a party. Saying this was the friends were flying in from all over to take part in the feast, and it was going to be the greatest weekend of their lives. And it reminded me of the Republican Party in the state of West Virginia.
Well, that's interesting, because right before you came up with that little cartoon that you saw, I was thinking, you know, I think nature is teaching us some things, you know, just with all of the focus on sharks surrounding us. We're being literally surrounded by sharks on all of our coasts. And
right.
Maybe we should take pause. Maybe we need to pay attention.
Had something going on here. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I know. We'd like to just take a break from it, but it keeps on coming. It keeps up. But everybody's working. Hey, you know, unemployment's never, it's sitting there, you know. Like, I suppose that's good, but it seems like everybody's doing a little bit extra work. Anyway, I hope that we find a beacon of light here. Or something. But in the meantime, the highest recorded temperatures in history are happening there yesterday.
I know.
Day before.
Yes. I think, well, on July 3rd, it was the hottest day ever recorded. And then I think the 4th even surpassed that.
Yeah.
And perhaps even yesterday surpassed that.
I'm just, what do you say to that? It's past time to, but imagine if you're going to impose an industrial policy that would compel, you know, priority number one, you know, before even the profitability of your enterprise, that you have to make this transition, okay? I mean, I just don't know where that authority, you'd have to tell all the lawyers to shut up for a couple of years. You know, how you do that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't think there are enough muzzles.
Yeah,
in production.
I mean, really, you really are faced with almost take Houston. I mean, how long through the summer can people survive 120 degrees?
Oh, I know.
I just don't know how that works. Just think of the cost of the air conditioning. It's got to be just huge.
Right.
But they got a lot of
energy.
And
then just people whose jobs are outside, people who have to be outside.
Yeah. You know, like truck drivers, you're sitting on top of an engine. You don't have any air conditioning in your truck, if it's a company truck, at least for a lot of them. And man, that would be, you'd have to have a shower going while you were driving around or something.
Brutal, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and landscape workers, and yeah, there's a lot that people don't think about. And I guess, you know, I kind of just go back to the whole profitability. Well, I guess just it'll be profitable until it's not, because we're not going to be here.
Yeah, right. I know, right.
I go back to a little bit of the common sense question, like, what's your profit going to do for you when we're all on fire?
That's right, on fire. Right, I mean, they're on fire in northern Canada, man. There's no protection anywhere.
Right.
Who'd have thought? You know, why would it start there? Interesting. Anyway, I don't know. We're so I can't think of any more bad news to relate. I'm just laid out three or four things that are going to.
I think that's great. I thought we would have had a lot more bad news to cover.
I mean,
I haven't. I haven't really been watching the news, honestly, or paying too much attention. I've had a lot of other things happening, but so
you must be getting ready for the wedding.
I am getting ready for a wedding, and you know that's no easy task.
I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah.
This is your first. Yeah. Well, I remember when Angela
wedding.
Got married. We had it
not
was
not my first wedding.
Well, we're talking about our own lives. Yeah. Right. So. Nonetheless, I think that it's a good thing that people are still getting married if they are.
Oh, I do too. I do too. And I think this is a good marriage. So that I'm grateful for. And I'm grateful for everybody coming together and that we can actually have a gathering and it'll be fun and everything will be just fine, John. Fine.
Okay.
Try to tell my daughter that right now.
She's worried about it.
I don't know how to get that across, but everything will be just fine.
Right. Well, you know, it should be fun. It's out in North Carolina, right? You're going down there?
Yes.
Right. All right, well.
No, the wedding's here in Shepherdstown.
Oh,
wedding's
it's in
Shepherdstown. And then they moved to North
Carolina. Oh.
Yeah, and then they moved to North Carolina.
Is this going to be a religious service or a civil with the judge or?
It will be religious, and then come here. It will be religious, and then yes, and then the reception is outside of Shepherdstown in a barn, an air conditioned barn. So yeah, it'll be fun.
Oh, okay. What church are you doing?
Yeah, all three of my daughters kind of practice different spiritual.
Disciplines.
They practice their spirituality in different ways. So
right.
My daughter who's getting married is the most traditional. So they are getting married in a church.
Okay. Which one? Or
and
is
it'll
that
be
a
nice
secret?
Because I do St. Agnes and Father Matt is going to marry
he's
gonna,
them. He's
and I'm
still
a big fan of Father Matt.
He's a great guy. Yeah, I like him too.
He is a great guy.
I didn't know he was still with us, but I'm glad to hear
it. It was a special request.
All right. Well, that's great.
He'll still do ceremonies and things. And like I said, it was a special request to have him.
Cool.
Officiate is that what it is, or yeah.
Yes, officiate. So, I suppose yes. He's probably licensed too. So there you go. Well, that's good. That's good.
He's got all the credentials.
That's right. All right. Well, okay. So what about a good news here? I'd like to go out on a good note here today. It's something that's some really a good feeling kind of thing.
Honestly,
Karen.
I am enjoying watching so many people enjoy the river. I'm glad we finally got rain a couple weeks ago and the river came up and it looks beautiful. And I've been noticing just people of all types and nationalities and everything down here on the river enjoying the time outside. And that always gives me a little bit of hope.
All right. That is a good thing.
When I see people coming together in nature, that's a good thing.
All right. Yeah, that is good. That is good. And it's been beautiful, although it's a little dry. Yes, I mowed the lawn day before yesterday, and after I had to go recharge the battery. But anyway, there wasn't much to mow. because even though we had rain for a couple of days, it kind of dried out again. And yeah, so it's not as green as sometimes, but.
I know. I'm hoping for some of these afternoon thunderstorms. And, you know, the 4th of July parade in Shepherdstown happened. And the
How
picnic
was it?
And
were you in the parade?
I didn't go to the picnic, but I did. I was not in the parade. I was a observer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's always just kind of a good old hometown little thing happening.
Right. All right. Was it a lot of participation? How many people?
I actually left before it even ended. I had to get on to my next dog walk. I just took a break in between dogs, watched a little parade action. Yeah,
usually Jim Oxer nice. Is then, out you know, there in the parade. He usually has his car. He's usually.
Oh,
in,
he was. Yep.
Yeah. Right.
He was. He walked down the street waving at everybody.
No, we're good. Good. And Lori, was Lori there? Was she doing her thing? Well, okay, so.
I think all the town council and park and recs, and they were pretty well represented, town was.
Okay.
And then, of course, we have the Contemporary American Theater Festival now. Mm-hmm. Everyone is arriving and thriving and excited about the plays.
Have you seen any of them, or do you know any of them that interest you? Yet?
There is one that interests me that is actually going to be performed at the Opera House. They're utilizing mm-hmm. that space, the newly renovated Opera House in town. So I'm excited to go to that one, and I have reached out. I did send an email yesterday afternoon to try to get someone from the theater festival to join us possibly next week.
Who's the guy that does the 8-minute video festival? He used to be on our program. I can't remember. I'm trying to think of his name. They have a short video contest, and he was organizing it. He's also hooked. I don't know whether he's.
Oh,
you know him.
I remember something about that.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, okay. Yeah. So anyway, if you can get somebody from CATF, yeah, that might be very busy. But
that would be fun.
That would be great. Okay. And I'm just going to work on the water manager at Piper's Ferry. He's a very interesting guy, and it's a
That'd
retirement
be great.
Project.
I did just read an article this morning that the new determination is that half of the United States drinking water is contaminated with PFAS, which are forever chemicals.
Yeah.
They're suspecting half of our tap water is seriously
connection to cancer
being contaminated.
There's a connection between these little they're microplastic particles, is that what they are?
Microparticles. From a lot of the things we started using in agriculture, like different pesticides, and then we started doing all the fire retardants on babies' clothing and couches and furniture. And then, of course, Teflon, you know, the non-stick coating is one of the biggest ones.
So are there filtering methods that you can use to remove it?
That's going to be the million-dollar or multi-million, billion-dollar invention when somebody figures that out.
Currently, there's no filtering. That'd be an interesting question. I mean, that's just
like mass systems for large municipalities. I mean, there's things that you can do at home. You know, charcoal filters. You know, some of the higher end Berkeys and things like that. That do help mitigate, but it's going to be tackling the water supply, the municipality problem, how to filter those systems.
Right, sure, yeah.
I'll leave that to the engineers.
Well, that would be a good topic to ask this guy about. I mean, he's pretty informed about it, so let's see whether he... he's also an economist, or he was in his professional life, so he might be able to understand what the cost would be.
Well, that would be great.
Okay. Well, I'll try to get him on then. Okay. I'll just ask him for a weekend, a Friday that he would like. By the way, week from Friday... Oh, yeah. So I'm... After the show, I got to get my eye shots that day, so that usually wipes out that day. So, but I'll that's only after 7 o'clock. So, 9:30 is my appointment.
Okay.
Other than that, okay. Well, I don't know. I hope you have a great week coming up. I don't have anything else.
I hope you do too. I will. And, I will see you and Carol on Sunday, and I hope everybody out there has a great week and enjoys the weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's late, but everything comes next.
Amen.
All right. Take care, my friend. All right. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.